How many of you know that, you know, the we preach a prosperity message? I made mention of it on Wednesday evening that, you know, we people of faith, we always preach a prosperity message, right? You know, the Bible says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers, yeah? And Psalm says that, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. Amen. And when we talk about a prosperity gospel, prosperity message, we're talking about prospering in every area of your life. And money is a part of it, but it's not all about it. Yeah, it's a part of it. You know, when we talk about prosperity, we're talking about spiritually prospering, right? Prospering in our relationship with God spiritually, prospering in our body, our physical bodies, right? Being healthy, you know, being strong, that we're able to fulfill God's will here on this earth, prospering in our emotions, in our mental capacity. You know, so when we talk about prosperity, a prosperity message, we're talking about total life prosperity. And money is included. But sad to say, some have taken the prosperity message and made it all about money, which is not. You follow me? It's part of it, but it's not. Does God want us to prosper in our finances? Yes, he does. But God wants us to prosper in every area of your life. Amen. You know, you can have millions and millions of dollars and not have the best of health and not be able to enjoy that. Is that prosperity? No, it's not. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I make that statement because a wonderful pastor by the name of Benny Hinn made a statement and said that he renounced the message of prosperity. Amen. But what I believe what the point he was trying to make is that ministers who are using the gospel and telling their people that if you give $1,000, God's going to, you know, he's going to give you all these other things, right? He's going to, you know, if you sow $1,000, then, you know, God's going to bless you in great ways. Yes, he will. But you don't put demands on people in such a way. The reason why we give is because we love Jesus. How many of you know you cannot buy a miracle? You cannot buy a healing. You cannot have somebody say, if you give $1,000, you can obtain a miracle. If you're a child of God, you know, you can have miracles. It's your God-given right as a child of God by faith to obtain miracles and healings. You don't have to pay for it. Amen. So we preach a message of prosperity. But like Kenneth Hagin says, we got to stay in the middle of the road. Stay balanced. Don't get too extreme on this side and don't get too extreme on this side. You all right? You guys follow me? Is that okay? You know, when we prosper, right? How many of you know when you receive Jesus Christ, I mean, you already received eternal life, that you're going to live with God forever. Isn't that prosperity? Right? That we're going to live with God forever. The moment you close your eyes here physically on this earth, that you're going to wake up in heaven. Isn't that prosperity? Isn't it prosperity that Jesus says he has given us abundant life, unlimited life, Zoe life, the God kind of life? That's prosperity. So we will continue ministering the message of prosperity. But we're going to stay balanced about it. And that's why it's so important to know what the Word of God says. Right? We're going to know. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Right? A workman not needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. So we've got to rightly divide the Word of truth. And thank God for the Holy Ghost who helps us. Thank God that we're able to teach the full counsel of God's word. Amen. Scripture will always explain to us what we need to know about God. We don't have to add to it. Praise the Lord. God can speak for himself. Praise the Lord. He needs us, but yeah, he doesn't need our help in a sense. But lift up your Bible and let's make our declaration this morning and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive, because I'm about to hear and about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, supernatural, ever-living seed of the Word of God. Today I'm about to be transformed. Change is taking place because my mind is about to be renewed. Therefore, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen, amen. Do you believe that? Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. We're going to look at our base scripture. We're going to continue talking about the name of Jesus. This is part 7, I believe. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Well, actually, I want to start at verse 5. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And we want to read to verse 11. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. You know, we've been learning some tremendous truths here concerning the name of Jesus for the past several weeks. I know last week talked about enough is enough. I wanted to encourage you, but we want to come back and finish off this series on the name of Jesus. And let me say this, if you missed any of the series on the name of Jesus, you know, I encourage you to go on the podcast, right? We have a podcast, www.faithfamilymaui.com, and then you have access and avail yourself to the messages that have been coming forth. And I promise you that it'll bless you and it'll help you tremendously. Amen. So let's read. I'm going to read starting from verse 5. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. How many know attitude makes a big difference? Yeah. We talked about, this past Wednesday, we talked about the five qualities of determining a Christian who is mature, right? A spiritual mature Christian, five qualities, right? And we talked about the first one was that spiritual maturity, a person is always positive under pressure. A person is always positive under pressure. It's an attitude, yeah? That James says, he tells us in verse chapter 1, he tells us, count it all joy when you go into various trials of temptation or various trials, right? I call trials pop quiz. Remember when you were in school, right? You had no clue. You showed up for class and the teacher said, class, we want to have a pop quiz this morning. And if you were paying attention during the week, no sweat. You can ace it. But like, if I wasn't paying attention and the teacher said pop quiz, I'd be sweating bullets, right? Because I wasn't paying attention. So when James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials, what God is saying, it's pop quiz time. Because I want to test your faith, see where your faith is, right? To see if it's working patience in your life. So it's an attitude, you know, a mature Christian is always positive when there's pressure. So he says, you must have the same attitude as Jesus has. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave or servant and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, you know, after he had done all that, therefore God elevated him to the highest, to the place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to look at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And Paul is praying this prayer to the church of Ephesians. And he says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. How many of you know God wants to understand some things of his incredible greatness of his power for us who believe? Any believers in the house? Or believe him. This is the same mighty power. Now he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the power, right? Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, he told the disciples, wait for the promise of God, right? Wait for the promise of God. And the Bible says that you shall be endued with power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, right? So when we talk about the power, the mighty power, the same power, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. How many of you know Jesus was dead physically and spiritually? I mean, he was dead. And the power of God, the Holy Spirit, raised Christ from the dead, right? Raised him from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Notice that. Not only did the Holy Spirit raise him from the dead, brought him back to life, but he raised him up to the place of honor. Amen. And seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Notice that. Notice that. There's something for us to benefit from, he's saying. Yeah? And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere in himself. So what I want to talk about this morning is, let's see, our identity. Who are we in Christ? Or we can say our identity in Christ. So we know through the scripture text we just read, the name of Jesus is the most powerful name in the entire universe, just from the scriptures we read, because of who Jesus Christ is, right? He's the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords, right? You know, the Bible says that 24/7, that the angels in heaven are saying, holy, holy, right? 24/7, day and night, night and day, they are saying, holy, holy, right? The Lord God Almighty, the God that was, is, and is to come. This is what the angels are doing, 24/7, night and day, day and night. Yeah. The God that was, the God that is, and the God that is to come. How many of you know God has redeemed us from our past? Yeah. Who was? Yeah, the things that we was. He redeemed us from our past. Aren't you glad? But he also keeps us in the present, right here, where we are. Amen. But he also secures us in our future to let us know that our future is bright. So the God that was, is, and is to come. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the name that is above every name, this name of the name of Jesus, the person of the name. And as I mentioned in the past few weeks, we've been teaching on the name of Jesus, right? How many remember our inheritance? Our inheritance in the name. Remember that lesson? Yeah? how we inherited his name, right? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born into what? You were born into God's family, right? We became his children. Therefore, we received anything that came along with it, right? We have the same rights. We have the same privileges. We have the same benefits, just as Jesus has. Why? Because we were born into the family, right? When you come into a family, right, you obtain everything that that family has, everything that that family signifies, right? Wives all know that. When you marry your husband, you're born into that family, what? You take that husband's last name, right? Everything that he is, everything that he has belongs to you, right? And vice versa. That's the same thing as children. We have been born into God's family, and we have inherited his name. Everything that is associated with that name, we also have. Everything. The benefits, you know, what Psalms 103 says, who gives us, how's that scripture go? Who heals us, the benefits. The benefits that we have, that he heals us from all our diseases, right? And he forgives us of all our sins. Forget not all his benefits, right? We have benefits as children of God. When you're hired by an employer, the first thing you want to know is, right, what you're getting paid and what are your benefits? Well, when you have been born into God's family, there's benefits. The same benefits that Jesus has, you have. Same. We have inherited. In fact, Paul tells us that we are heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ Jesus. We have inherited his name as children of God. And when we inherited his name, the name of Jesus, we inherited everything about him, everything that he is. Praise God. Not only did we inherit his name, but we also were authorized to use his name as children of God, sons and daughters of God. And we also talked about the victory in the victory of Jesus in the name, the authority in the name. The name belongs to us. Two ways to use the name, the power of the name. And so much that pretty much sums up the series that we've been doing. But this morning we want to continue on part 7. And we want to talk about who we are in Christ or our identity in Christ. How many of you ever hear that, who we are in Christ? How many of you ever pursued that thought? What does it mean to know who we are in Christ, right? Well, when we talk about who we are in Christ, we're talking about our identity in Christ, right? Some people, you know, they identify with their work. Right, they identify themselves with an organization, right? They identify. How many of you know what you do as a job or as a career, that doesn't identify you? That's what you do, but that's not who you are. You know, when we talk about guys, when we talk with each other, first thing we ask, oh, what you do? Oh, you know, I'm a plumber, I'm an electrician. That's what you do, but that's not who you are, right? That's not the real person. So when we talk about who we are in Christ, we're talking about our identity in Christ. Who are we in him, right? Because in order to understand the authority that we have in his name, we have to understand who we are in Christ, right? Because when we know who we are in Christ, we know Christ, we got to know him, then we begin to know what we have. Because everything is in him, right? Yeah. So as Christians, one of the most important revelation we have to get from God's word, this Bible, right, is to clearly understand who we are in Christ. Identifying with Christ will absolutely change the way you do life. How many of you believe that? It will actually change your life, the way you do life, and cause you to elevate and rise above all life's adversities. As we just read, right, the Bible says that Christ is seated in heavenly places, right, a place of honor. And then he goes on, for the benefit of the church, Because when you see Christ sitting in heavenly places, and you know that you identify with him and that you're in relationship with him, you're in Christ Jesus, guess what? If Christ is sitting in heavenly places, guess where you're seated as well? In heavenly places as well, by faith, right? So when you do life, when you begin to understand your identity in Christ, you begin to do life a whole lot different because of the way that you perceive things, right? The way that you perceive things, and things begin to change. But before we can get the true effects of what the name of Jesus can do for us and what he has done, we have to understand whom we are. Whom we are. I remember reading, you ever read the autobiography of John G. Lake? Anybody? Wonderful book. Powerful book. John G. Lake was a tremendous evangelist, but God also used him in a powerful healing ministry. In fact, the time spent in Seattle where he was holding these health clinics, he was teaching people how to get healed and how to heal people. He was holding this healing clinics, teaching Christians how God can heal you and how you can heal people through scriptures. And you know, Seattle in that time frame, 1830s, was the most healthiest city in the world, because they were making an effect in their community. People were healed. Yeah, tremendously. And I remember reading his book, and he had this prayer. He had this prayer in his book, and I wrote it down. It was basically a prayer of consecration. And he goes, Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to teach me whose I am. Mine to show me whence I came. You know, whose I am and whence I came, right? So this Bible will show you whence we came, right? And whose we are. Or who you are in Christ. Yep. Amen. Your identity in Christ. This Bible will show you who you are or whose you are. Yeah. We know Jesus said, I'm from above. I'm from heaven. So if Christ is from heaven, guess where are we from? Yeah. How many of you know we're just passing through this earth? This is not our home. Heaven is our home, right? Whence we came. Whence we came, whence we go back. Right? Whose we are or who we are in Christ. Now, I want to give you an assignment, right? Now, when you go home this week, what I want you to do is, during your devotional time with the Lord, I want you to open up your Bibles, and mainly in the epistles, the epistles of Paul. And when you read through the epistles of Paul, you know, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, you know, Philippians, all of these, the epistles, and as you're reading the epistles, I want you to look and underline all the following. When you come across statements such as in Christ or in him or in whom or through whom, right? I want you to highlight those areas, right? Because it's speaking about you in him, through whom, in whom. Yeah. Highlight it with your marker, all those scriptures, in Christ, in whom, in him, through whom, and meditate on it, memorize it, confess it, believe it, right? Such as Colossians chapter 2, you just listen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Notice that. You are complete in him. In him, right? So when I read that, I am complete in Christ, in him. I am complete in Christ, which I am the head of all principalities and powers. You're putting yourself in that place. 1 John 2, 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him. Do you guys follow me, what I'm saying? Yeah? Now you will find approximately 140 scriptures that says that in epistles. 140 scriptures, which will tell you who you are, what you are, and what you have because you are in Christ. Amen. Yeah. Let me repeat that again. Those scriptures will tell you who you are, what you are, and what you have because you are in Christ. You are in relationship, right? You are in fellowship with Him. See, when you identify with Christ, God gives you a new identity. How many of you believe that? When you begin to identify yourself with Christ, God gives you a new identity, right? Instead of being a sinner, right, you are now called a Christian to be like Christ. Instead of being lost, now you're found. Instead of being an enemy, you're called a son or a daughter of God. Instead of unrighteous, you've been called righteous. Yeah. Instead of sick, you've been called healed. Instead of poor, you've been called rich. See that? In Christ. You were this, but now you're this. You're identifying yourself with Christ. Right? You're not a worm or sinner saved by grace. Right? Either you're born again or you're not. Right? So you're a saint, right? So when you understand your new identity in Christ, it'll make you stronger. How many of you believe that? It'll bring a more sure stability in your life. Why? Because you know who you are. And you know whose you are. Right? It'll change your life and your walk with God. You no longer be one tossed to and fro, so to speak, of every wind and doctrine. You no longer be what we call an elevator Christian. Elevator Christian. One day you're up, one day you're down. One day you're up, one day you're down. You'll be stable. Why? Because you know who you are. You begin to identify yourself with Christ, right? See, when you understand your new identity in Christ, what happens is your faith in God begins to increase. Your prayer life begins to get enhanced, right? Because we're praying in the name of Jesus. You walk with a greater boldness, a greater confidence. You walk in a new level of spiritual authority. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Just to know who you are in Christ and just to know what you have makes a tremendous difference in your life. See, it's time that we stop believing what the devil says. It's time we stop believing what the naysayer says. Stop believing what the TV commercials say and the negative in-laws that says, telling us who we are. We need to understand what God is saying about us, right? And start searching out the scriptures for yourselves. Find out what God says about you. Amen. I said, find out what God says about you. You know, people can say all kinds of things about me. My thought is, so what? I don't care. Yeah. We know who we are, right? But we need to know who we are. That's right. And what God's word says about you. Amen. Because the truth is, what God says about you is all that matters, right? What God says about you and what Father God thinks about you is all that matters. Amen. Turn to the next person next to you and say, you have no clue who you're sitting next to. We're talking about identifying ourselves with Christ, right? Tell the other person, you have no clue who you're sitting next to. Well, let me introduce myself to you. Say that. I'm an earth shaker. Repeat after me. I'm a world changer. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a devil destroyer. I'm a kingdom financier. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm highly favored of God. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm seated in heavenly realms. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. That's who I am in Christ Jesus. And that's what you'll find when you study out those scriptures in epistles, and identify yourself with Christ in that way. And begin to declare it, begin to meditate on it, begin to believe it. Amen. Because this is who you are. This is your identity. I'm not just trying to get by, right? We're not the Bible says if anyone be in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become brand new, right? The past is the past. You obtain a brand new identity in Christ. And that's why we need to know who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, amen, and how God sees us. This is how God sees you, by faith. Aren't you glad that God sees the end from the beginning? But like we said on Wednesday night, it's a process. Everybody say a process. You know, my granddaughter, you know, she's starting to walk, and then she falls, right? She didn't just start walking, right? But she's starting to walk. She's learning how to balance herself. She's learning how to stabilize, you know. She'll fall down, she'll get right back up. But it's a process for her. But she's getting better. The more she practices, the better she gets. Amen. So one morning, you know, we'll get up and she'll just walk. But because of the process of just being consistently, right? And just like us, you know, spiritual maturity is a process. Knowing who we are, you know, identifying ourselves with Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, it's a process. It takes energy. It takes effort. Yeah. On our part. Understanding who we are. You know, God's word will show us our position as believers, who we are in Christ. It'll show you your legal standing with Christ. It'll show you your place in the family of God, a place of belonging, right? It'll show you your place in God's perfect plan and purpose for your life when you understand who you are in Christ. By investing your time and studying the scriptures, you ultimately find out what God's word says about you. You know, you'll come to see your place, your position, your authority in Christ Jesus. You will see when Jesus gave the church the right to use his name or the power of attorney, he authorized us to be representation in the earth the very moment that we received salvation, right? When you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that very instant and believing in his name, guess what? You became his beloved. You became worthy. That moment you received Jesus Christ, you became worthy. You became holy, right? You became righteous. That instant. But like I said, it takes a process. I've told this story before, and I'll share it again. When I heard the message of righteous, that you are righteous in God, in Christ Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I heard that, I says, huh? Righteous. And the devil began to tell me all the unrighteous acts I did in the past. How can I be righteous because of all the unrighteous things I've done? Right? It took a process. It took a renewing of my mind. Knowing what the blood of Jesus did. And receiving that gift of righteousness. But it was a process. Now, do you have a problem with being righteous? No, I have no problem. I understand. I'm in right standing with God. I'm in right relationship with him. I have no problem saying I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But it was a process. Amen. So the moment we received Christ into our hearts, into our lives, that moment we became holy, we became worthy. You know, we don't have to work for our worthiness. We don't have to do nothing. We just receive by faith who we are in Christ. Right? We became righteous. Everything that Jesus is by faith, you are. Let's just say that, right? Let's put it that way. Everything that Jesus is, by faith, you are. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, 17, the Bible says, as Christ is, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven. It doesn't say, as Christ is, so are we in heaven. It says, as Christ is, so are we in this world. Just as Christ is in heaven, so are we in this world. As we begin to identify with Christ, right? Just imagine that. Not only are we where Christ is, sitting in heavenly places, right? But we also are as Christ is, victorious, more than a conqueror, righteous, holy, right? You guys see that? Yeah. Not only are we where Christ is, but we are as Christ himself. Wow. What we identify with him. We are in heavenly places with him, but we also as Christ is. We're righteous. We're victorious. Jesus did everything for us. He gave us a new name. He gave us a new identity. Yeah. All we need now is a phone booth so that you can go in and change and come out. And how did all that happen? Is because the personal, profound, relational union that we have with him, in him. That relationship that we have in him, that we have with Christ. And he goes on, he says, herein is our love made perfect or mature, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. The scripture says, as he is, as who is? Jesus, right? We're talking about Jesus. So are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven. We are as he is right now. Here on earth. As he is, so are we right now. Can you see that? Amen. He is the head, right? In Ephesians. He's the head. And we are the body. Is it separated? No, it's connected. Right? But he is the head over the church. We're connected. And that's why he needs his body to be able to fulfill his will. Right? We get our marching orders through his word from the head. And the body responds to the head. Amen? So we need to remember that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Right? And just as Jesus is right now, as Jesus is the same right now as he was in the days of walking on the shores of Galilee. Jesus is the same right now. Jesus is the same when he healed the blind man called blind Bartimaeus, right? Sitting by the roadside. He's the same. And, you know, you can look throughout the Bible. I can show you accounts after accounts to show you who Jesus was, right? Because Jesus never changes. You know, all the miracles he performed. And by the way, we need to remember, church, as he is, so are you. So if Jesus is the same, right? Same yesterday, today, and forever. And just as he healed the blind man, just as he did all of his miracles, he's still doing it today. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is still in the business of saving people, right? He's still in the business of saving, healing, delivering, and doing miraculous things in people's lives. How many of you can say Jesus has done something wonderful in my life? He's still in the business of doing those things. Yes, he is. And he's doing it through you, the body of Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. He wants to use each and every one of us, the body of Christ. Amen. So we need to allow the Lord to use, or allow the Lord to use you. Right? Allow the Lord to use you into leading people to Christ and sharing the gospel. Allow the Lord to use you to heal and to set the captives free. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is still in the business of saving, healing, delivering, and setting the captives free. And he's using each and every one of us to do those things, right? So we need to, you know, if you want to be used, allow the Lord to use you in that capacity to set the captives free. Because this is all part of the Great Commission. Jesus sending his disciples out. And that commission was given to not only the disciples, but it was given to all believers. All believers, right? So we use his name. That name is just above every name. We use the name on every disease, every sickness, spirit of torment, afflictions, right? We use his name on financial struggles and every demon in hell in the name of Jesus that opposes or tries to oppose you. You know, when we, when I get to, you know, feed my granddaughter breakfast in the morning, we pray in the morning. I pray with her. Father, bless our day, bless our family, bless our church family, and bless this food that Joy is about to receive in Jesus' name. And we say amen. You know, and she looks, she goes, she smiles, you know. What are you trying to do? Teach her the name of Jesus, you know. As the scripture Lambert shared, you know, everything that we do in work and deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Do it in the name of the Lord, right? Because the things that we do, you know, our works and deeds, yeah, we're doing it for one another, but the ultimate thing is we're doing it for Christ. We're doing the best of our abilities, right? We're not just doing things just because, you know, but we're doing it and we're honoring that name, the name of Jesus. And therefore, we operate in a spirit of excellence when we do it in his name. Amen. So as a church made up of believers, we occupy till he return. We are called as a church to occupy what God has given us till he comes back. There was a wonderful song about Jesus coming back. And he is coming back for a glorious church, right? But he calls us to occupy until he comes, right? And therefore, we take our place. We've taken our place, or we've taken Jesus' place. We've been authorized to use his name, right? Although he is not here with us physically, but yet he is, right? He's not with us here physically, but he is, in a sense. He sent his Holy Spirit. He says, it's expedient that I go back to my Father so that I can send you the Helper. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to abandon you. I got to go back, but I'm sending you help. Amen. I'm leaving physically, but I'm sending back a Helper. God, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you. So we have help. So everything that we're doing, we're motivated by him. We're doing it for him, right? Therefore, we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we're obeying him. We're doing it according to his word, right? So Jesus has given us the same authority he had to each and every one of us as believers. So your position in Christ, right? You're in Christ. He gives you the same standing that he had with his Father that Jesus had. Imagine that. You have the same standing as Jesus had with the Father. I know if you don't see this to the renewed mind, your mind can go tilt. We cannot see this from a religious mind. This is God's word. Yeah. He has given us his authority, Jesus, his position. We are his church. We are his representation here on this earth. The Bible calls us ambassadors, right? We represent him. So he gives us everything that we need. So our position-wise, our identity-wise, right? When God looks at Jesus or he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Because you're in Christ. God has no problem. God has no identity problem. We as Christians have an identity problem or identity crisis. But praise God, God's teaching us that we no longer have an identity crisis in Christ. We're understanding who we are in Christ, our authority. Your position in Christ gives you the same standing with the Father that Jesus has. Do you understand what it means to be in Christ now? Do you know, you understand what it means to be in Christ, your identity in Christ, right? So don't remember the homework I gave you in Christ, right? Every place in the epistles, find yourself in Christ, in him, in whom, through whom. So everything that we're doing, you know, we're doing it for him, for the kingdom of God, right? And everything that we do is motivated for love for God. It has to be motivated by love, the love of God. Whether it's, you know, whether it's sharing, just sharing with your coworker, you know. You know, we talked about a little bit about compassion Wednesday night. How that compassion, you know, as mature believers, compassion is putting yourself in that person's place and feeling what they're feeling. But not only feeling what they're feeling, but also being able to do something about it. Yeah. Right? And that's what compassion is. Looking at somebody who doesn't know Christ, who's lost. Right? You have to come approach it from love and compassion upon that person. Because if you don't, you just walk away. You just walk away. And not say anything. You know, I look at people in two ways. Either they're saved or they're unsaved. They know Christ or they don't know Christ. Yeah. And to have what you have and what we have and not share it is not right. Yeah. We need to share this. And love will always motivate you to do it. Because in love, there's no fear of what people think or being rejected. Yeah. There's no fear in love. When you're motivated by love, you know, it's not going to stop you from sharing the love of Christ with somebody. Yeah. So compassion is actually putting on that person's skin and feeling what they're feeling. Yeah. And being able to do something about it. You know, the quality of being mature, in a sense, being mature, has nothing to do with the anointing. You know? Has nothing to do with anointing of spiritual maturity. Amen. God never puts his approval, you know, or his approval of spiritual maturity just because somebody's anointed. Yes, it's wonderful to be anointed, but God doesn't put his hands, his validation of spiritual maturity on somebody who's anointed. What he puts approval upon somebody is when he deals with character. That's what he's looking for, character. You know? He puts his hand of approval over somebody who's who's conforming to the image of Christ. Yeah. You can be anointed, but not flow in the love of God. Amen. You know, we talked about recognition is people that how people perceive you, how people see you, right? Recognition is how people see you. But character is what God knows about you. Character is what God knows about you, what he knows about me. And he puts his hands of approval when you are conforming to the image of his son, that you understand who you are in Christ. Amen. And what Christ did for us. As you know, salvation didn't come cheap, right? It's free, but it didn't come cheap. Amen. So we are to occupy till he comes. We take Jesus' place. We've been authorized to use his name. Although Jesus is not here physically with us, he is by his Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So everything that we do it for him. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill his plan, his will. And Jesus has given to us the same authority he had, right? He has to you as a believer. So our position in Christ, is the same standing that we have with the Father that Jesus has. Everything that Jesus has, we have in Christ. So can we make that declaration again and believe it in your heart? Do you have a better understanding of your identity in Christ now? Because I know in the past when somebody say, you got to know who you are in Christ, I would think, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? Now, to know who you are in Christ is to identify, knowing your identity in Christ. You know, the body of Christ, not this one, has identity crisis. Not knowing who we are. Yeah, not knowing who we are. And it's sad because we have this right here. Yeah. This Bible that tells us who we are. All we got to do is get in the book and find out who we are. So we can do this, right? Go through the epistles, right? In him, through him, in whom. That's who you are. In fact, you can even put your name in there, right? Lambert can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. You know, I put my name in there. Reuben is more than victorious in Christ. You know, this is who I am. Because the devil will tell you, no, you're not. The first thing you mess up, he'll tell you, if you were that in Christ, then look what you're doing. Right? Yeah, he'll tell you. He'll make sure. And unbelievers will tell you too. Hey, shouldn't you, aren't you a Christian? Christians don't do that, right? They'll tell you. But you know, when you begin to know who you are in Christ, you begin to look at life in a different way. You know, nobody can unconvince you who you are in a sense of your name. I cannot tell Lambert, your name is not Lambert. I mean, he's already, you know, he already know who he is, his name is. It's already ingrained in him. My name is Lambert. I can't, you know, I cannot tell him, hey, Kimo. See, Lambert won't look. James will look. Because Lambert, that name has already been ingrained in him. He knows who he is in the natural. But you know, God wants us to know, God wants it to be ingrained in our hearts, in our spirit. So that we know who we are. Yeah, we know who we are, we know what we have, we know what we can do in Christ. It's supernatural. I mean, it's amazing. It's awesome, right? Just to know that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is living inside of us. And every time you agree who you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is saying amen. Amen to that, you know? And he begins to change your inside your heart. As you begin to renew your mind to who you are, the Holy Spirit is inside you, renewing, changing who you are inside as well. So there's not only work that's going in here, but there's work going in here. Every time you agree in the Word who you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit puts his agreement inside of here. Amen. You begin to walk a different, not arrogantly, but there's a confidence, there's a boldness, there's a surety, there's a greater level of authority of knowing who you are. And nobody can tell you who you're not. Yeah. Amen. So did you receive the word today? Will you help this morning? So Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask that let the words of our mouths and let the meditation, Lord, of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father. We thank you for the Spirit of God for revealing to us, Lord, to your word, who we are, Father, and whose we are, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we ask that you continually work within our lives, Lord, as the people of God, Lord, to know what we have inherited, Lord, through and by the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we are heirs and joint heirs. We are heirs of God and joint heirs in Christ Jesus, Father God. And Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you that we receive by faith, Lord, that the promises of God are yes and amen to them that believe, Lord. And we are believing believers, Father, that, Lord, you identify yourself with us. And Lord, we thank you for clarity. We thank you for revelation. We thank you, Lord, for enlightenment, Father, in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. We come in agreement, Lord, with your word. And we say, Lord, continue, Holy Spirit, to do your perfect work within our lives. Bring us into a place, Lord, as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that we are growing from faith to faith, Lord. We are growing from grace to grace, from glory to glory. And that we can experience, Lord, your power, your word, Father, transformation. And that, Lord, that we can do the work of the kingdom here on this world, here on this earth. Motivated by your love, Father God, fulfilling the plans of God and establishing your kingdom here on this earth, Lord, in this world. Being able to touch our communities, Father, our neighbors, Lord, our co-workers, Lord. That, Lord, that you place a message within our lives, Lord, that our lives is a message of the goodness of God, the love of Jesus, and that we can share, Lord, the message of Christ Jesus, what God has done for us, that he can do for others, those who would come, Lord, and believe and receive. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in every life that is here, the families that are gathered here. We as a church, Father God, making an impact in our community, in our island, Lord. Father, we ask that you use each and every one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name, to establish and to progress the kingdom of God here on this island. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to Jesus.